Good evening. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, Club Station, K2BAR. Your host tonight is K2ZO, and this is the Barotechnical Net. This technical net is held every week at this time, and is usually controlled by W2TTT as net control. I let it drop. Okay, the net is open to all radio amateurs. It is run primarily for the Barra group, but it's open to everybody. We discuss things of a technical nature, and if you have a subject or a question or anything related to any technical subject, when you check in, please mention what it is if you have a question or if you have a comment. And this net is run at the courtesy of the Bergen County FM Association, who graciously lets the Barra Radio Group use it. And again, this is K2BAR. Are there any check-ins for the technical net?
There's me.
Okay, we got you. And 2OEL.
K2DSL, no questions.
Okay, K2DSL, we got you. With no questions. Anybody else?
S2K, no questions right at this point.
Okay, NS2K. Thank you. Anybody else? This is K2BAR.
KC2SAV, Al, no questions.
Okay, KC2SAV, how you doing, Al? And let's see anybody else out there. This is K2BAR for the Barra Technical Net. I don't know, maybe it's my voice. This is K2VAR. Anybody else out there for the Barra Technical Net with any comments, questions, or anything, please come now.
KC2TMQ, Chris, with a question.
Okay, Chris, KC2TMQ, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Alrighty, well, I'm glad you got a question, so we have something to talk about. And let's listen and see if there's anybody else out there. I think I may have started just a little bit early. And this is K2BAR with a K2ZO at the microphone and the Baronet, a technical net. Anybody else?
K2BAR, one question.
Okay, I got two. The other station, was that you, Noel? Did you say something?
One question.
I have one question? Okay, and there was another station in there.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB.
K2PYB, we got you. And anybody else? This is K2BAR.
K2BAI, this is KC2SGS, Rachel.
How you doing, Rachel? KC2SGS, is that right? Is it Sierra Golf Sierra?
Sierra Bus
Truck,
sorry.
Okay, we got it. Okay. Very good. Thank you for checking in. I guess you are mobile, is that correct?
That is correct. I am mobile.
Okay. Very good. Alrighty. Do you have any questions and any comments for the net? Any technical of anything or whatever?
At the moment, I'm concerned about hooking my rig to the battery system of the car.
Okay, well, that's a very good question. And it's a handy talkie, is that correct?
It's a Yaesu.
Is that a low-power handheld radio, or is that a larger, more powerful radio?
It's a low-power handheld.
Okay, all righty. Well, I have a few comments for that. And something like this came up once before, and it's a very interesting comment. Okay, and Noel, did you say you also had a question?
I have one question on antennas.
Okay. All righty. Well, let's get started. We have 2OEL, K2DSL, NS2K, KC2SAV, KC2TMQ, Chris, who has a question, and KC2PYB, and we also have Rachel, KC2SGS. Since Rachel is mobile and moving, I don't know, into or out of the area, I think we're going to go and take her question first, and we'll also listen for any check-ins. Okay, problems that you have that you'll see in the instructions is a safety fuse in both the positive and negative lead coming from the radio's power supply, a car's power. In other words, from either the cigar lighter or hooked right up to the battery. And there's a good reason for that. It should always be done. People always question that. Why do you do that? And one of the reasons that it could be is that you could have a short and you could have something open up and you could actually get current around the fuse and into the rig and cause damage. And that's why you always want to, in a mobile installation, you want to put a fuse in both the positive and negative leads. Anybody with any comments on that?
I got one.
And
what happens, Richo, is if the ground lead to the body of the car comes loose, the only ground for the whole engine will be through the negative lead coming from the battery to your radio. And you'll be there happily starting your car. You'll turn the key, and the starter will attempt to draw 200 amps through the negative lead of your radio from the battery into the negative lead into where your radio is mounted and it's grounded. The negative lead will disappear in a hot flash, perhaps starting a fire, perhaps not, but you don't want that to happen. That's why. Yes, Jim?
Okay. Go ahead. Okay, that's why, and that's a very, very interesting phenomena that can lead to complete destruction of a radio. And if you look in your automobile, your negative lead sometimes is just bolted to the frame. And although it's a rather fancy and heavy-duty substantial lead, it could get broken. It could be left off by a mechanic or some other thing could happen to it. So you never want to have the car's system trying to use your radio's negative lead because it'll very quickly destroy your radio. And that's why that fuse is there.
Additional question, that is, the mechanic told me that my radio is what took the computer out in my car. Is there something I should be putting in as well as the fuse to protect the car as well as the radio?
That's an interesting comment. Let's say this. Were you getting RF into it? Was the car acting strange while you were transmitting? Or did it just do it instantly when you hooked the radio up?
Everything seems to be working fine for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, blinkers weren't working, and the alarm system wasn't working, and the lights were being, one of the tail lights was on while the other one was off, and you couldn't disconnect it.
Did they reset the computer, or did they replace it?
I was told that the computer was fried and it had to be replaced at $800 and some odd.
I would definitely contact. I don't know whether you realize it, but there, all of the major manufacturers have people who work in a capacity of working out RF problems. In fact, we have a couple of them that belong to the club. I'll point them out to you next time I see you. This has some further discussion. It's a topic that's near and dear to most of our hearts. I have had problems in the past, but more of the computer getting into my radio with noise. And what I did is I put a noise filter, which consists of an inductor and a capacitor across it, in series with the DC going to my radio to stop it. That will also stop any pulses going back.
Okay, so what kind of capacitor and inductor, or is that something you'll find online?
Look for a noise filter, okay? If you can find something, you may find a kit. I can search Drop me an email at k2zo@arrl.net, and then I'll have your email address. And what I'll do is I'll see if I can dig out some information on that discussion. Radio Geo-01, I don't believe they do anymore, but I think that people like Kenwood and ICOM also do it. I'm 100% sure that that would provide a barrier there. And the only other thing I could think of is perhaps a pulse got back, or the other thing that we might want to do is to actually hook your radio directly to the battery, okay? Don't take it off the cigar lighter or anything like that. We'll put a junction box and hook it on the radio, right from the battery. Another project for Kit Night. Back to you.
I was asking the question because if I go to Hamfest on Sunday, I was thinking maybe I could pick up the RF filter.
I will be at the Hamfest. I'm an easy guy to spot. I will walk around with you for a while and we'll see what we can find. How's that?
That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I actually made one with an old choke, believe it or not. I took an old choke apart, but I'm cheap, as most hams, and actually rewound it with heavy wire. So I actually made a high current inductor on an old core, and then I just put a capacitor across it, about a 1,000 microfarad capacitor. And I put a fuse before that, and also the fuses for the radio I put after that. So just in the oddball chance that the capacitor shorted, it would not start a fire. So there you go. That was a very good comment about that, but boy, I tell you, I would have liked to have been with you to discuss that with those people there, because I would have opened the book and really given them a hard time. That's a very interesting thing, and that's probably one we should kind of publish or so. Very good. Are there anybody other else that want to check in, and any other comments on this?
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB. I seem to miss, what kind of radio is this, a larger base station or a small 5-watt handheld?
She had a small handheld, and apparently the maintenance people claimed that her radio wiped out the car's computer, which I find hard to believe, especially with a low-power radio. However, a pulse may have happened on the lead. I don't know. Maybe the lead got shorted or something like that. That may have done something, but that sounds strange to me.
The only comment that I can have on this is, why are we wiring a handheld into the electrical system of a car? That in itself automatically is going to void any warranty and cause you any kind of problems. I've been operating a handheld out of my car for years. That's the only thing I have in the car is a little 5-watt handheld, and all I use is the cigarette lighter plug-in. And plug it into the handheld and turn the charger feature on my handheld. And when I leave, I just pull it out of the cigarette lighter and take the radio with me. And there's never any danger of a problem as far as cars and stuff like that. And my antenna sits outside the car the way you taught way back in the tech stuff, and, you know, the technician license manual. And I've never had a problem with in my car at all.
That's a good comment, and I have, of course, done the same thing. However, on higher power radios, I prefer to go right to the low impedance connection of the battery. The only thing that I was thinking is perhaps where the connection was made for her handheld, it was close to the power source that was powering the computer behind the dashboard. Some cars, like mine, have other, they're cigar plug-ins, but they're really not set up for a cigar lighter. In fact, my car doesn't even have that little plug-in cigar heater thing. But it's got three or four spaced around my SUV where you can plug power in there. but I'm not sure where they're coming from and how well those are isolated. But even with my handy talkie, I still had a small choke in the series with the DC.
This is KC2PYB again. No, I agree with you completely, Jim, on that. Like I said, you don't know where it was wired in to the system. And anytime you start monkeying around with the car's electrical system, trying to cut into it or something, and it's not the factory technicians or the dealers, mechanics, or whatever you want to call them, you're just looking for trouble. Just looking for trouble. A small handheld, just put the little, plug-in into the cigarette lighter, and just avoid all kind of problems completely.
W2JK, comment. Yeah, go ahead, Don. We'll check you into the net and let you make a comment. Go ahead.
Okay, this is W2JK. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, well, I'm using an Alico handheld. And that has a cigarette lighter cord that's got a built-in filter, you mentioned, but a choke. So the idea is, I guess, to keep a generator wine, alternator wine, and likewise the reverse, anything that comes down the pipe from the rig would go back into the car's electrical system. Supposedly that would be the way it would work. Back to that, W2JK.
Okay, very good, Don. Yeah, W2JEK. This is K2BAR. Well, I had a handy-talkie once that had a 7-volt power source. And what I did, I built, again, being cheap, I built a plug with a little box, and I plugged the plug into the cigar lighter, and in that little box, I put a 3-terminal voltage regulator, okay, with a big capacitor on the output. And that also had a reverse diode on the thing to prevent any kickback of any voltages. One of the things that happens is when you start your car, you can get some pretty big spikes, and they can get into your radio and sometimes deprogram it. So you want to protect the radio from the car as well as the car from the radio. There are ways to do it, and depending on how much voltage that radio takes, you may want to go with a regulator. Again, another project for Kit and I. Boy, we're really cooking here.
Comment?
Go ahead, Noel.
Gordon had a problem, and a while back I bought 50 RF chokes at, I think, 29 cents a piece that were allegedly Panasonic hookup sets. They had two fuses, a little RF choke and everything, and they were 29 cents a piece. And we've been using them liberally. Perhaps two of those, a couple capacitors, and an outside box would solve the whole problem. You could put one in a negative, one in a positive, a couple capacitors. And she's only going to draw, what, half an amp at the most?
Okay, I'm going to reach that ID there. This is K2BAR. Okay, very good. Yes, that sounds like a great idea. But I know that there's probably a lot of information on the web and a few other things like that. But, boy, I think, Rachel, before, I guess you've already paid that bill, I don't know. But, boy, I would have raised holy hell with the technical people at the factory board, because, you know, they've got to understand that these things get connected to cars all the time. Now, I know that there's been lots of discussion with some of the new cars. One of the fellows in the club has one of those new hybrids, and that thing is noisy. It is so incredibly noisy that he can't even operate HF with all the stuff that's going on in there. Alrighty. Well, that was a very interesting topic, and something that we all should be aware of. Two things. One, protect your radio from the car's electrical system, and vice versa. We haven't really even talked about RF. Sometimes people get RF from powerful radios, 100 watts, into the computer that controls the engine. And boy, you ought to see what trouble that causes. You shut down your fuel injection system and all the rest of this stuff, and that has actually been a problem documented on police cruisers when they transmit. So they've had lots of problems with that. Okay, let's go and listen and see if we have any other check-ins. This is K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association.
K2MI, Tony. Also with a little bit of information, and that is you referred to the Hamfest that you would be there. Well, last night we discussed the possibility of using as a communications frequency at the Hamfest to use the 79 repeater direct. In other words, use the output frequency of the 146.79 repeater with no tone and no shift. And if so, it's from Barrow, would carry that on their walkie-talkie. They could communicate around the Hamfest. The Hamfest is quite large. So, Jim, you might keep that in mind. Back to you.
Okay, that's a great good idea, Tony. I think I'll grab my handy-talkie and do that with it. Direct, 146.79 direct, with no tone on nothing, just whatever. And we should do very well. That's very good. Okay, so we got you checked in. Is there any other technical comments referred to this conversation, Tony?
Additional comments on the power surge is no. But I typically go back to the battery with a direct adequate copper wires and run a lead direct from the battery out. That's my solution. And I run 50 watts on 2 meters or so. That's about all. Back to net.
Okay, well, that's a good comment. Back to the battery because any way you look at it, the battery acts like a great big capacitor. And any time you have thin leads leading away with other things, you tend to get spikes and other junk on there that get impressed onto the radio's signal. Okay, let's see. And let's go to Noel. Noel, you had a question in reference to antennas. I'll just one more last. Any other comments on this subject that we just discussed with Rachel?
I'm up in S2K.
Okay, Jim, go ahead. In S2K, K2BAR.
The comment from the dealer sure sounded like something they were trying to avoid paying for. I can't imagine an HT being even able to do damage. And I assume that, Rachel, you're using the factory cigarette lighter adapter for that radio. Generally, they've got some kind of regulators, some step-downs, some bypass caps, whatever, built into those. So there's almost no chance of being able to do, damage backward, unless the car is, just that badly designed. But, they tend not to last very long. Because they're used with, police vehicles where, hams, CBers, on and on and on. There are people putting serious transmitters in these things. And, if the car is that fragile, they'd be subject to recall almost immediately. Otherwise I agree completely with Jimmy's comments. And Richard as well. For an HT, you ought to be able to use the factory adapter. Anything heavier than that, I would definitely go back to the battery. And S2K.
Okay, very good, Jim. Thank you for your comments. All righty, let's go to Noel and 2OEL. You had a question referencing antennas. Hopefully or somebody here could answer it for you. Go ahead.
One last comment. Since 1986, I've been running my 7950, which draws 9.5 amps out of the lighter socket or accessory socket on a multitude of cars. And with the, little filter there, never had any problem. Anyway, the question on antennas. I have a Comet GP9, which allegedly has, 8.4 dB gain on 2 meters. I also have an old isopole. And when I'm talking to somebody straight up the ridge here, they say the new antenna is maybe an S-Fit unit or more stronger than the old one. When I'm on the races net, MAWA, which is the most distant station, comes in, barely can hear them on the new antenna. On the old antenna, he comes in at S1. He's considerably stronger. And the difference is MAWA is over a ridge from me. And I've been thinking, I would look at the pattern of the antenna, which is almost straight out like a searchlight almost, And I said, maybe it's, I need the older antenna to get somebody over the hill because more of the radio waves go up and bend over, whereupon with the new antenna, they're coming out so straight they're just running into the hill and not going anyplace. So that's the question. Do you think that's what's happening?
What I think could be happening is that the signal could be refracting. The things that happen with radio signals and a lot of other radio signals too is that they refract. And if you remember your physics and refraction and lambda equals 2D sine, no, forget that. Can actually cause a signal to cut across a vertical portion of like a mountain or something like that and come down by taking your antenna and tilting it. Years ago on 2 meters, we used to work Aurora and all kinds of weird things like that, and we had a couple of guys had antennas that were tiltable, and it was amazing. You could actually sit there and make transmissions, and all of a sudden, somebody would say, wow, what you did, and you'd look out, and you'd have the antenna at a degree angle. So, there you go.
So, what I got to do is get a small beam and tilt it up.
The radio does weird things. That's why it's so much fun to have a fox hunt when people come out, and that's where you really start seeing the differences in the way radio signals react, and how you can be fooled by various different reflections. But I'm sure that may be what you're seeing. You may be seeing refraction.
It seems that the all antenna with the lesser gain, which to anybody that's close or reasonably close is not nearly as powerful, it doesn't do as good for that one station that's way out there.
Of course, you remember if you look at the patterns from the antenna, if RF was visible, it would really look interesting, very strange. Maybe somebody will come up with a technique to do that. You could see what your antenna is actually doing to the ionosphere. That would be neat. Atmosphere or whatever. Oh, well. That's another interesting observation. But I know years ago we had lots of fun doing that. The old days when everybody operated direct, forget about, there were no such things as repeaters, and we all built our own stuff. I'm showing my age here, by the way. But it was very interesting. Okay, let's get to Chris here. First of all, let's take a listen and see if there's anybody else here who might want to poke in. This is K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association.
Three CRT Mobile,
Charlie, how you doing? Where are you mobile?
But I'm on Route 80, just past the Mount Arlington exit, so I'm going to come up the hill here into a pack on. I might lose you and you might lose me, so I'll just listen out.
Roger, okay, very good. We'll listen to you. Well, right now you're getting into the receiver. It's good to hear you in there. And hopefully we'll be able to get more of a comments from your technical know-how on some of the next nets. So, we got an 3CRT in here. Let's just go listen if there's anybody else. K2BAR.
KA2BDU, no question tonight.
Okay, KA2BDU, Helmut, good hearing you in there. No questions, we got that. Okay, well, we have Chris, KC2TMQ, and Chris has a question, and he's been waiting while we discuss all these other problems. And let's get to Chris and see what question he has. KC2TMQ, this is K2BAR, go ahead.
This has to do with repeater access and how much power to use. I know that you're supposed to use the least amount of power, but how would you know that? In other words, like tonight I'm using 10 watts, and I don't know if that's right or not. There's different settings in the radio. It's a Yaesu, it's a mobile, but I'm using it as a base with a power supply. But I also have a handheld. I work out in Fairfield, New Jersey. I was always wondering if I could reach Franklin Lake Peter with the 5-watt HT. So I'm just wondering, is there like a standard amount of wattage to use, or I don't know. Thanks. KC2TMQ.
Okay, KC2TMQ, K2BAR. Well, unlike AM in single sideband and some of the other things, once you have a signal that completely quiets the receiver, okay, you don't hear any hiss or any other background noise. Remember, an FM receiver is frequency modulated and has a frequency modulation detector, so it doesn't care about the amplitude. Once you are into the repeater with a signal that quiets the receiver, that's all you need. So how do you do that? Well, you get on and you say, how do you hear me? Okay, now I am listening, by the way, on the input of the repeater as well as the output. And I hear you as well on the input as I do on the output. You are full quieting on both. So I don't know where you're located, but you have a good signal. And you have a full quieting signal into the repeater, and that's all you need. If you run more than that, nobody will really notice it. But what will the end result is that you may be keying somebody else's repeater up in another area, or your signal will override anybody else that's coming in. So what you need to do is to make a test from where you're out there and see if you have enough signal to quiet the receiver. And once you have enough quiet the receiver, remember the repeater is a receiver and then a rebroadcaster, okay? So it rebroadcasts what it hears. So if you're quiet into that, in other words, enough signal to quiet the receiver, that's all you need. And all you need to do is ask somebody, am I full quieting?
Okay, well, thanks very much. That was perfectly done. It made a lot of sense. Thanks very much. KC2TM2.
Okay, very good. I can remember many, many times I helped build this first repeater, okay? Not the one that's on here, but the first one, okay? And that was many, many years ago. That was 1966. And I can tell you, we were all newcomers. We knew nothing about FM. You couldn't even buy a 2-meter FM radio. What we had was a bunch of converted taxi cab radios that were full of crap that we had to put in the dishwasher first to rinse them out, and then take them up and open them up and clean out all the stuff and rebuild them. And they were tubes. So that's what we did, and that's how we built this repeater the first time. Now it's a commercial one, but I can tell you many, many times that question was, hey, am I full quieting? People checking and rebuilding and tweaking. So that was a very good question.
Good days, one.
Okay, do we have anybody else? Any comments or any other questions or anything like that?
N2T.
N2T, another old-timer. How you doing, Butch?
Good, Jimmy. Yeah, you know, I remember you and my father putting that stuff in the dishwasher. I couldn't believe that.
I think I'll tell a story about Butch's dad and myself and another fellow who's no longer with us, Glenn, K2IZL.
Ed.
Okay, well, we used to go down to a surplus place, and we would buy old taxi cab radios. And these taxi cab radios, let me tell you, were well used. They were covered with crap and grime and grease, and they were disgusting. So the first time we went to this place to buy any, we would look for ones that were really pristine, clean. And, of course, we would find a couple, and we would take those home, and we would pay for them. We were paying, like, $20 for radio. And we'd take them home, and you know what? We would clean them up, and they wouldn't work. Then we got wise, we figured out what the deal was. The reason they were so clean was they failed and were taken out of service and just thrown in the back of the shop. The ones that were the dirtiest were the ones that had been used the most. So then we finally bit the bullet, and we took them, and what we did is we opened them up, and we pulled out the power supplies and kind of cleaned them up with a brush and everything. And the rest of the radios, with all of the tuned circuits and everything like that, we put in the dishwasher, and we actually washed them. Then we took them outside and we put them in the sun and we let them dry. And then we went and replaced any of the components that were bad and stuff like that. And that's how we put the radios on, and that's how we built this first computer. Not computer, first repeater.
It was so funny. I laughed. Anyway, switch out everybody, and I'm not going to stay here long. And six has been really crazy. And give me my final comment. T5 RVs do work.
Okay, Butch. They do, to a point. But there's no reason to take that a good 80-meter dipole and put it in a G5 RV. But that's another story. That'd be another comment here for the net. Okay, anybody else with any other questions, comments, or things? I think we're throwing it a little bit of history, a little bit of fun. Goodness, we've almost made this like a 75-meter net. This is K2BAR.
K2BARNN2T.
Okay.
KB2RZY, listening.
Okay, what's your call, sir? KB2 what?
Kilo Bravo 2, Romeo, Zulu, Yankee. Just listening. The name is Lee, Lima Echo Echo, and we're over here in Nassau County, Long Island. Over.
Oh, okay. Well, you got a good signal from Nassau County. We're over here in New Jersey. KB2RZY. How you doing, Lee? My name is Jim. My call is K2ZO, and I am originally from Long Island. We're the net control station, so we're K2BAR. Whereabouts are you located out there?
Okay, we're in Hicksville. You know where that is, Hicksville.
Of course I know where Hicksville was. Been there many times. I grew up, we have family out there in West Hampton Beach. I grew up in Port Washington, also lived in Roslyn. And always wondered why anybody would want to call a town Hicksville.
I get that all the time. I get that all the time. Well, some history was behind it. The Hicks family kind of like settled here, one of the first ones. You ever heard of Hicks Nursery? That's part of the family. And they also had a lumber yard back when. So that's how they got Hicksville.
Yes, Lee, I knew that. I knew the answer, but I was baiting you. Having lived there all my early life, I have actually lived two lives. I have lived one life there and one life here, about a 50-50 spread. Okay, let's give another call out here and see if there's anybody else that wants to come in. And any last call for comments or anything on the net. We've had lots of fun here tonight. This is K2BAR.
KC2QWO, name is Neil, just listen.
Okay, KC2QWO. Okay, Neil. Very good. How long ago did you get your license?
I think I got my license. I don't even hear you.
Very good. Well, congratulations. Very good. I always remember how much fun it was as a new ham to talk to somebody. And, of course, I'd get on the air and I'd be a new kid. And the old-timers, they wouldn't talk to the kid. So I have always made a thing to talk to the new hams. I always said that once I got old, and once I'd been a ham for a million, I'm not going to be like what those other guys were like. And never have been that way. So, very good. Welcome to Ham Radio, and enjoy. And check our website, bara.net. Just do a search for Google there on Google, bara.net, and you'll get our website, and you can see what we do. 2JK. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, it's Barrett.org, isn't it?
Barrett.org. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Barrett.org. Or just Barra will probably get you close there. Jim, I have a question. Have you spoken to the people at the school about those VE test dates? Over. No, I have not. I have planned to do it tomorrow. And the test dates, of course, are the 19th, the October the 4th, of course, that's the Hamfest. And you had one other date, which was what? The 21st of November. Okay, I know it's in an email upstairs, but I'll just write it down. And I'll ask for the dates and check and see if they've got a school calendar made up. And then I have to get a copy of the insurance form to formally put it in. And I should be able to get that from Bob, WB2AIU, within a week. Then we'll get that up going. So we'll get it squared away and email and let you know. Okay, let's see. Anybody else with any comments? If not, we can close up the net. This is K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Okay, well, thank everybody for being here. It was lots of fun. We got a couple of real good topics here. And I just like to encourage people who are listening to check in. I'll probably be running this net next week. And encourage people to check in. And also to remind them that we have a 10-meter net at 28350 Monday nights at 9 o'clock, which is run by yours truly. So if you've got 10-meter privileges, by all means, listen for us there. Conditions are getting good. We've had people check in from all over the country here on that frequency. So with that, we'll say 73 to everybody. We'll thank the Bergen County FM Association for the loan of their repeater. And we'll just sit back here and see if anybody else has any comments. This is K2BAR, 73 off.